Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
While my heart beckons me forward, my head tells me that my continued presence on the conservative line would simply lead to the election of Andrew Cuomo and the continuation of an entrenched political machine.
And with that mind-heart split, Rick Lazio is out of the race for governor of New York, abandoning the conservative party line that he won in a primary and that would have allowed him to continue to run even though Carl Paladino won the Republican nomination. At about the same time he was making that official announcement yesterday at noon, Andrew Cuomo, it was a little after, Andrew Cuomo was in Harlem during the morning rush hour and then met with black leaders and finally appeared to take the offensive against Paladino. So what's next for the remaining two major candidates? Well, are moderate Republican voters in play for Cuomo now that Lazio is gone? Is Cuomo finally getting serious about this race and about the large African-American base of the Democratic Party? Joining us now to update us on the new field, sans Lazio, and to run down Cuomo's not-so-big day at the 125th Street subway station at St. Nicholas is WNYC political reporter Ozzie Pabra. Hi, Ozzie.
How's it going?
Good. So let's start with Lazio. This was an agonizing decision for him, obviously. Right. He won the line fair and square from the beginning of the year. I think people in the Republican Party leadership considered Paladino a fringe candidate, and so they assumed that Lazio was going to get the Republican nomination. The conservative party put him on their line, assuming the same thing, because it's only when Republicans and big C conservatives are unified that they ever win in New York State. And then lo and behold, Carl Paladino won the Republican primary and messed up their nicely laid plans.
Right. Lazio had been saying since he got the conservative party endorsement that he would run through November no matter what. And that seemed to be sort of a I guess you can call it posturing. I mean, he didn't stick with that plan. He – when conservatives backed Lazio early on, it was when there was still another candidate in the Republican primary by the name of Steve Levy, who in some senses was a little bit like Carl Paladino, well-funded, sort of brash, combative style. And what Lazio was trying to do was say, I have this necessary component to a Republican victory, which is the conservative party line. If a Republican candidate does not have what I have, they're not going to win and I'm not budging. And that's what he said for as long as he could say it.
We have a surprise, Ozzie. I didn't expect this. I'm sure you didn't expect it. Rick Lazio is calling in.
Hey!
Okay.
Let's let him join.
So if I get him on like within the next minute, that'd be fine.
Okay. So we're not, obviously we're not quite ready.
That's great.
But it sounds like from our accidental eavesdropping on his press person that we might get him on in the next, like, minute. So there you go for all the world to hear. While we're waiting for Mr. Lazio, let's talk for a minute about the conservative party and the conservative party line, because I'll bet most of our listeners don't actually know what that is. Obviously, there's a Republican Party and a Democratic Party in New York. There's also the Working Families Party, kind of to the left of the Democratic Party. And there's the conservative party, which is supposed to be to the right of the Republican Party. Has that been its function over the years to kind of try to pressure the Republican Party into keeping it ideologically pure?
Yes, that is what the chairman, Mike Long, says is their stated goal. And they have demonstrated an ability to sort of be the tail that wags the dog. They at times have held their conventions before the Republicans. And when that happens, conservatives pick their slate of candidates and Republicans sort of say, oh boy, we now have a choice. Do we go against this conservative party that has already stated their position and they've demonstrated a willingness to vote for their candidates despite, you know, other options?
And despite being likely to lose.
Right.
Right? People who vote on the conservative party line, and there have been at least 50,000 of them in every recent gubernatorial election, are people who want to state, I'm not just a Republican, I am a conservative. And in many other cases, as I said, being willing to vote for somebody out of true belief, even though that person will lose. But we'll do the but later because Rick Lazio is ready to go. Mr. Lazio, we very much appreciate you calling in on this day after you left the race. We're here with WNYC political reporter Ozzie Pabra as well. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Ozzie.
Hi.
So here we are, and you dropped it. You're not really going to – you don't really want them to elect you judge in the Bronx, do you?
Desperately no, you know. I said, if elected, I'll resign.
The most honest judge in New York, perhaps.
That's right, the first honest – is all right. Well, look, we can come back to that in a little while.
That's famously – I think Buckley said when he ran for mayor, right, if elected, first thing I'll do is call for a recount.
That's how you get off the ballot in New York State once you're nominated. You either have to die, leave the state, or be nominated for something else. So the Conservative Party nominated you for judgeship from the Bronx. Can they do that if you're not – I mean, seriously, is this legal if you're not a resident of the Bronx?
You know, I first of all, I don't think the Conservative Party has done that, and I think they're in the process of working out the kind of legal procedure. So I'm just not able to comment on it.
Okay.
But my understanding is, by the way, for Supreme Court judges, that you do not need to live in that judicial district. That's my understanding.
Okay. So when you dropped out yesterday, you declined to endorse Mr. Paladino. Certainly you didn't endorse the Democrat, Mr. Cuomo. Why didn't you endorse Paladino?
Well, I believe that these two candidates have a lot to be desired in terms of the specificity and the platform. And I believe the people really deserve and need to hold the candidates' feet to the fire. Holding them accountable after the election is too late. We need to know how these two candidates propose to grow our state again, create private sector jobs, and balance the budgets, not in terms of platitudes. And certainly trading insults doesn't work, doesn't create a single new job for any New Yorker, doesn't solve any problem. I think the people, as I said, need and deserve more than what they're getting. And the only way I know how to do that is to continue to push both the public as voters and the candidates to do a better job of explaining how they'll govern.
Do you think that it's acceptable for mainstream Republicans to elect somebody who's got Paladino's history with the racist and sexist emails? I realize that's not the main concern of the state right now. Obviously, jobs and the economy are the main concerns of the state right now. But I am wondering if there's been kind of a diminishment of standards, because I think in any normal year, people who are mainstream in the party would look at the kind of emails that were sent, you know, portraying the President of the United States as a pimp and his wife, the First Lady, as a whore, and et cetera, and say this actually disqualifies this man, but not this year for some reason. What's your own view on this?
The emails are completely offensive, unacceptable, have never been part of the party that I belong to or associated with. And I believe the Republican Party has a lot of soul-searching to do here. By the way, I think the Democratic Party does too, but maybe for different reasons. I think the Republican Party needs to decide who they are, what they want to be, where they want to take the people of the state or the nation, depending on what you're talking about. And it's one of the reasons why yesterday, number one, I didn't endorse. Number two, I raised questions about public character, I think on the part of both candidates. And I think these issues are very important. They go to the heart of who the person is. I you know, every time I've run for office, I've always had people come up to me and say, you know what, I don't really agree with you on every issue, but I trust you. I know you grapple with things and you're serious about things, and you'll come to a conclusion for the right reasons. And that's what people deserve to have. You know, we've got a very toxic political environment. And by the way, all of us as voters, I put my hand up among them, we're partly responsible too, because we keep reelecting a lot of people, 99% reelection rate in the state legislature, that in my view, you know, often violate their commitments and their trust. You know, this is not a healthy functioning system when you have a 99% reelection rate, when you have the system rigged from a reapportionment standpoint, so the legislature creates its own boundaries to confirm or guarantee that the incumbents get reelected. In my view, rolling over huge amounts of money from one election to the next helps, again, guarantee or perpetuate the system. I don't think candidates should be able to get automatically roll over any amounts unspent from one election to the next election. So yeah, I think there's a lot of work to be done. And obviously, when you're talking about character, this is something that bothers me. The emails bother me. And that's something I think the people of New York, fairly have to gauge.
Ozzie Paber, you have a question for Mr. Lazio.
Yes, Mr. Lazio, I was wondering if you could tell us what impact you think the Tea Party has had on New York politics and specifically the Republican Party.
It's hard to tell yet, Ozzy. I looked at the school board elections where there was a lot of noise by the Tea Party that they were going to vote down all these school board votes, and in fact they passed overwhelmingly. Over 90% of the school board votes passed. In the context of the conservative primary, which I won, I'd say there were probably Tea Party activists on both sides. On the Republican side, it did seem like the Tea Party folks got to the voting polls. Now, but keep in mind, I think this is important. Two things are important to know. One is this was very much, in my view, an upstate downstate thing. A lot of resentment from the folks upstate about their lot, their situation, the economy, which is really a basket case, a lack of jobs, and they do tend to look at downstate people in government as being out of touch with their problems and ineffective in solving them. And so if you looked at the Republican election, I won on primary day on the Republican side. I won Westchester, all five boroughs of New York City, and Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk by 2-1 margins. So, Carl Palladino's margin was all upstate, and the closer you got to the Buffalo area, where the economy arguably is the worst, the better he did on
this message. He got 80% in Buffalo and Erie County,
yeah,
I believe.
It's staggering, actually, in terms of that. But that's. So I think the Tea Party had definitely, they got to the polls, they had an effect on the Republican primary. I think a lot of these people in the Tea Party are ordinary citizens. They want to express their point of view. They feel disenfranchised by the system or by the parties. And, it's a good thing for people to get involved and be part of the debate. You just don't want to veer off to the point where it becomes destructive. And I think it's very important for people to be focused on, not just what we tear down, but what we build up, what we create. What do we replace something that we don't like with? And that's where, again, I think the candidates, in terms of vision, have been very limited. Both Andrew Cuomo and Carl Palladino, I couldn't tell you if somebody asked me, what do you think their vision of where New York should be in 20 years is? I'd really struggle to be able to tell you that. Anger is an interesting motivator, but it's not a solution and it's not a platform.
Mr. Lazio, on the economics of the upstate downstate thing, from what I've read, Mr. Palladino built his reputation to some degree in the Buffalo area through a resentment of high taxes as taking from the people upstate to fund the people in New York City. And even that, to me, has racial overtones. Maybe you'll disagree. But aren't the economics the opposite at this point? Isn't New York City and downstate in general the economic engine that more subsidizes the struggling upstate New York at this point?
Well, you have a hard time selling that upstate, but I have seen analytical work that would confirm that. Just that in terms of overall, where the tax revenues are derived from and where they're spent. But I think the people upstate would make an argument that stop taxing us so much, give us the ability to grow our economy and create jobs, and the spending that takes place by downstate forces seems to many of them as wasteful and inefficient, mm-hmm. and in effect, whatever is taken from them is not spent well.
Wouldn't a reduction in statewide income taxes, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Wind up leaving more money in the pockets of downstate and taking more money out of the project spent on upstate?
You know, it just depends on how you'd structure that. But the what I think a lot of people, and I would make this point as well as I think a lot of folks around the state, not just upstate, that the private economy is a more efficient allocator of money and is a much more viable engine for growth, and that our future depends not on creating a massive public sector employment, but in creating private sector jobs. And to do that, you've got to have healthier businesses. You've got to be able to compete with other states, which we're not doing effectively. You know, we've led the nation for 10 years in at net outflow, more people, jobs, and businesses leaving New York for other states than any other state in the country, save California, I think, for the last year, but for nine of the last 10 years anyway. New York has been in the lead. It's a failed policy. So this is where the frustration lies. And a lot of people look at Albany and they say, you know, there are interest groups that cut their deals because they're in Albany. They have their campaign contributions. They have their army of political operatives, and they perpetuate a system which forces New York to be uncompetitive and creates a massive wealth transfer from the private sector to the public
sector.
So
you're saying it's not just a zero-sum game between upstate and downstate. We have to look at the rest of the big picture. Ozzy, you have one more question for Mr. Lazio?
Yes. Just to go back to your comment about the Republican Party and soul-searching, I'm just wondering if you could sort of define, in your words, what the Republican Party is and what you think it may turn into as a result of a Paladino nomination.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if you look at there are hundreds of Republican candidates that are running this cycle. So you can't just look at one candidate. And you look at Dan Donovan as district attorney of Staten Island, running for attorney general. Harry Wilson running for comptroller. I mean, they have neither one of them endorsed Carl Paladino, by the way. So you know, there are all kinds of candidates. I mean, for me, I am more drawn to what I would call kind of the Jack Kemp wing of the party, what used to be the Jack wing part of the party, where you'd say, you know, that choice and empowerment were important principles, that it wasn't about wasn't about saying that the poor or new immigrants were to be scapegoated, that they were the reasons why we have problems, but rather that every person who was poor today, if we did our job right, would be tomorrow's employer, you know, would be tomorrow's job creator, and that we wanted a system where people could move up the economic ladder, and we had a very dynamic economy, and that's the Republican Party, you know, that I more identify with, a party that needs to do a better job of reaching out to new immigrants and to other minorities and to women, and a party that believes in economic dynamism and believes in a strong private sector, believes in balanced budgets and making and having discipline in their decision making, but also has a conscience and has a view on the environment and on health care and on other important issues. Housing, which I was very involved in, of course, in my public career, public housing and housing.
You sound like somebody who was primed to run a statewide campaign.
I'm
sorry for you that it didn't turn out that way. Just tell us, is there any scenario under which you could see or in which you could see yourself endorsing either Cuomo or Paladino between now and Election Day?
Well, I've among other things, which I've said, you know, I've got this. I may end up with some judicial restrictions here as a candidate. I don't have them yet, but I may at some point, which would constrain my ability to do a formal endorsement. But I will say that even if that was not the case, that I would probably take a fair amount of time to push these candidates and use whatever leverage I have, whatever modest leverage I have, to to really encourage the media and the public not to give either candidate a free ride, to not accept empty false promises and slogans as a substitute for serious ideas and policy. And we've got enormous problems. I mean, Dick Ravitch, Lieutenant Governor, rolled out a pretty important study on Medicaid, which is a huge program. Right. We've got the largest Medicaid program
and
in the nation.
We've just got a minute left. We have Paul Krugman standing by.
My only point is let's get these candidates that left in this race to have some substantive answers and give people some confidence that they know what they're electing and what they will do once they get elected.
Rick Lazio now out of the governor's race. We really appreciate you calling us today.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you.
And NYC political reporter Ozzie Pabra.
Thanks.
Thank you. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we do have Paul Krugman in our green room about to come into the studio to respond to something that Newt Gingrich said about him on this show last week. Oh, and maybe we'll talk some economics, too. Stay with us.